And welcome to The Cynic Weekly. It is Thursday the 10th of August 2023. The Scottish Premiership season has started. We have the magnificent Glasgow Celtic back in our lives playing competitive football. I'm Christopher Gallagher and I'm as always joined by Christopher Samani. Hello Christopher, how are you?
Evening Christopher, looking forward to this.
Every week, just a roadblock. Great to see you, Chris. Alan Edgar's also here. Alan, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to this also. I missed this over the summer.
Good stuff. We had Lorenzo in your place last week, but you were doing subscriptions, Cynic stuff during the week. We looked at the Ross County game. This whole week has been looking back at the Ross County game. We are going to look forward to the Aberdeen game. Want to maybe get Chris Sermani's brief thoughts on the Ross County game to put in context how you're feeling about everything. We're going to talk about some news that's breaking, some stuff from the press conference yesterday, and then we're going to look ahead to the Aberdeen game. How are you feeling, Chris? Ross County game, Saturday, Celtic Park. Mm-hmm. How was it for you? What was your thoughts?
It was a bit odd. For me, it wasn't the most...
That's how everyone's kind of described it, was at Celtic Park, just a weird atmosphere.
Yeah, it was strange because you wouldn't say it was a good or bad atmosphere. It just didn't feel quite right. Didn't feel, like Flag Day, you know. Performance-wise, a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, we really couldn't get out at one point in the first 10 minutes. We were pushed back. There was some very sloppy passes. And at that point, you're thinking, not looking particularly good today. But as the game went on, there was some really, really nice passages of play, some good performances. Matt O'Reilly stood out for me. Kyogo, I think in some of the pods you've talked about him dropping a bit deeper in his link-up play, which was exceptional. And despite the fact they scored twice, you know, I don't think the game was really ever in doubt once we kind of got through that sticky kind of first 10, 15 minutes. So... yeah, you came away from it not exactly buzzing, but at the same time, you know, there was enough there to say that, you know, we've still got a good squad, you know, and we can build on that and take some hope from that. But it says a lot, isn't it, that we're like that. We won 4-2 and we're kind of like, oh, it was all right.
Alan, again, we touched on it. We had the agenda. We had a look back on Tuesday as well. And on Wednesday, we covered the news. So we're, 4 or 5 days out from it. How are you feeling? Has your opinion changed in regards to the context of the game? Or is it just a case of you just win that opening game and that's it?
Yeah, take the win. It's not for everybody, winning on opening day.
we'll get to that.
Pleased from that perspective. But I think... I do echo that. I think it was a bit of a odd atmosphere on Saturday. Maybe just a bit. It's a new manager, but it's a very familiar new manager. It's a very familiar group of players that played. But then the year before, Flag Day was probably not a classic as well. I think it was Aberdeen the year before, and it was maybe a wee bit underwhelming. So, it's a forgettable game. I don't think anybody will look back and pick that is a highlight of the season, or if they do, then fuck me, it's still going to be a great year. I'm fine with it. I'm kind of more excited for Sunday because it's a proper test on Sunday. I think Ross County will be quite poor this year, so you know it feels like a very, very different prospect this week to last. So can I move forward and hopefully we've got a bit more positivity going into this weekend? And you know, we did come away from Celtic Park on Saturday.
Did you watch the game? Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, there's a wee bit of doom and gloom around us, you know, the club and the support just now, which, you know, try not to lean into it because it's too easy to do that, you know, in terms of concerns about the transfer window. Saturday was a bit odd, you know, but we've said before, and it probably echoes with what happened last year, no qualifiers, were first competitive game, you're straight into it. These are all reasons why that might have been the way it was, you know. So I'd rather assume that than just assume that we're doomed and that we're not going to get any more players in and that the manager doesn't really want to be here and that we're going to watch turgid football all season. Don't want to think that, Christopher.
You're not a Rangers fan?
No, I'm not. No.
I just mean like they're terrible.
Yeah. Well,
did you watch the Kilmarnock game? We talked about this this week.
We are now veering into the... At least we're not as bad as they were on Sunday, you know.
I'd rather avoid that.
I know. But it was funny. Did you watch the Kilmarnock game?
No. I watched after the score, Kilmarnock scored to the end. Which, he defended very well, Kilmarnock.
See, on that, I mean, he's both just said that there. Like, there is a sort of thing. We need to focus on us, right? And we need to make sure that we have our house in order. And there is a kind of... And I can understand that a lot of people kind of... Like, we're all bathing in how kind of poorly they've started the season. But we need to kind of separate that from us, Alan. We have to be like, just focus on what we're doing, because just being a little bit better than Rangers is really not what we want to be.
No, definitely not. And I think you can enjoy it. Definitely. Yes. And enjoy it, I will, because there is a big element of what they do does feed in somewhat to our success domestically. That's a fact. You know, and I know people always focus on yourself, and, you know, the manager for the last 2 years was very, you know, nonplussed and just tried to focus on what we do. But how good they are domestically against other teams might impact, you know, the season. But that's only one element. And I think one of the elements we keep coming back to is Europe. And yeah, our success in Europe will not be impacted in any way, shape or form by how good Rangers are or how bad Rangers are domestically. So whilst it does have an impact potentially on our success domestically, it has zero impact on the platform that I think everyone is craving some sort of success in, which is Europe. So we do want to be better than Rangers, but we don't want to be just enough better than Rangers. We want to be far and away, you know, better than them to an extent that, you know, it becomes just a byproduct of our other success. You know, being better than Rangers is just one of the outcomes from being a top kind of European side relative to a club of our size, which could be Europa League level, you know, maybe Champions League level. But don't just shoot to kind of be, you know, 2-3 points better than Rangers, because that hasn't helped us in the European stage for quite some time now.
And I've said that for years, you know, if you're aiming to be the best possible team you can in Europe, Scotland will take care of itself. And that's, for me, has got to be the point of Rodgers being here. We've won that much domestically recently, you know, you wouldn't need to have appointed a manager of Rodgers' standing or calibre to be, you know, if all you were interested in was continued domestic success. So the fact that they've signed him, given the history of him coming back, for me, it's got to be Europe that we're looking to do something in. So as much as, yes, we want to maintain our domestic dominance, we want to continue to do that, absolutely, we want to continue lording it over Rangers. See, if we don't do that, if we do that, but we don't do anything Europe, if it's just the same old, that's not for me. I think, for me, this season, the barometer will be what we do there, and if we move forward, otherwise, you know, it's just a bit insular.
Yeah, well, and we'll get to that. Brendan Rodgers spoke at a press conference yesterday. We've cut up some of the audio because some interesting quotes, which we will get to. Carol Starfelt has left Celtic and he's went to Celta Vigo. He's went to the La Liga. Disappointed, Alan, or is it the right thing to do in regards to what I was talking about, how we want to, you know, a conveyor belt of talent coming in behind the established players? And we can briefly talk about Lagerbelt. You know, we don't know a lot about him, but he seems to be the target. Starfelt leaving, what's your thoughts?
It's an odd one.
Kind of out of nowhere as well, a wee bit.
Yeah, it feels like the player and the club are on the same page with it, though. I think the fact that it kind of came out of nowhere and everyone was quite content with it, including the manager, probably tells you that I've been working on it for quite some time, which makes me pretty, I think, very comfortable that Navrotsky will be or is the direct replacement. I think that's already been done, and I think now what we'll probably be looking to do is bring someone in then to provide competition for what is likely to be a centre-half pairing. Navrotsky's already got European experience, which is, it's actually quite rare for us to sign probably a player with the kind of, you're not talking double figures, but he has played in the Europa League, so you know, that's something. So that's positive. And I would imagine he will be the kind of, him and Carter Vickers will be the pair that takes it in the Champions League. But I think the thing that's maybe just a little surprising about Carter stuff, it's just the fee. It doesn't feel like it. It does feel very much like, this is going by Brendan Rodgers' comments, that the player was keen to move, and obviously was keen to move to a particular part of the continent. which then makes it difficult. And it feels like Celtic's hand has probably been forced a little bit. If a player wants to move to a very specific part of the world, it limits what you can do. So, and if he does want to go, then, you know, you've got to move him on. I thought he was good. He was really good for us. Having Cameron Carter-Vickers formed probably one of the best defensive domestic partnerships that we've seen. Probably.
He only played one Champions League game as well. He only played one at the very end because he had a knee injury, which is a shame that we didn't get to see them in Europe.
Yeah, but what they achieved domestically, I mean, him and Carter-Vickers never lost a game when they started together. I mean, that is just a phenomenal record over 2 years. So I was delighted that, you know, he did really well for us. And I think I'm very, very respectful. There's became this narrative that people think it's, that people are becoming dismissive of him leaving. I don't think it's that. I think it's, there's a realisation that I don't think anyone doesn't believe that we couldn't get in a player of Carlos Starfelt's quality or better. If you don't think we couldn't get better there, or at least the same, then your expectations of the club or of what we can do, I think, are quite low. Because I really, really like Stafford. I think he was superb. Mm. But I think it is an area where you were saying, if you really want to go ultra-competitive and you really want to improve, it's maybe an area that you could have looked at. It depends who we get in. You might get someone in who's not as good and you will kind of rue that loss. But it's one of those ones that I think I'm fine with. I'll be more comfortable when we get someone else in and we get competition back there, because I'm hearing a lot of names being thrown about centre-halves that I really, really, when Brendan Rodgers came in and we talked about levelling up and how we were going to, I really thought a lot of these names were names I wouldn't be talking about, you know, mid-August.
Give me an example.
I think we know the names. I don't want to, you know, be, I think people know exactly the kind of players.
Don't want to offend Scott McKenna, is that what you're saying now?
I don't want to be sitting here talking about guys that have been at the club for a number of years now that we've talked about before, that we've kind of had and we thought we were maybe going to move on, but actually they feel like they're very much back in the fold again, because I want to move forward with Brendan Rodgers as the manager, not move back the way. So I'm fine with Starfelt going. I think the club's hand was forced a little bit, but that's fine. You know, you can't win everything. And I don't think you'd be getting 12, 15 million, but closer to 10 would have felt more reasonable for a international defender. But as long as we go now and get the business done, and the key is that it doesn't then distract us or hamper us from getting in the other key positions, because very quickly it's feeling like the to-do list in this window is starting to tally up. Carlos Starfelt, to us certainly, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, was a player that we never thought would be leaving. He now has gone, that's another thing we need to replace. And it kind of feels like this window's crept up on us a little bit, and with 2 weeks to go, it feels like we're kind of sitting with a lot of, I think, in my opinion, a lot of work to do to get this team to where we want it to be.
See, what I would say, I think the point that you make about Starfelt, I am and was a massive Starfelt fan, but I also thought, yeah, we could do better there. Like, not that he's a bad player, he plays at a good level, he plays at a good standard, but there was no one that was going to ever usurp him. There was no one that was ever going to challenge him. Mm. I always think guys like Starfelt are really good hands, really consistent, play really, really well. But you can get better if you really, really look for it. Guys like Jota, I think the Jota question is going to be asked right up until the window closes. But a guy like Jota, far harder. Starfelt leaving, Chris, your thoughts?
Much the same. I was a fan of Starfelt. I think he
do you think he was underrated a little bit in regards to...
I think people's opinions of him were skewed because his mistakes were high profile. I mean, just in the door in the AZ Alkmaar game, that was a spectacular own goal, you know, and you can probably pick out another few whereby, you get rattled in the League Cup final, I remember that as well, you know. So when things went wrong, they went wrong, and they were then etched in your memory, and I think that kind of impacted on people's perception over the piece, because for me it was a remarkably consistent centre-half. Would tend to agree with Alan. Can't think of too many better domestic partnerships than him and Cameron Carter-Vickers. You know, never been beaten in a game that they played together. That's a phenomenal record. So he was overall, I thought he was an excellent servant for the club. In terms of him going, I mean, there's some of this narrative, you know, about people kind of saying, why is he going over to, you know, Celtic Vigo and all the nonsense about his partner. That's just crap. Bottom line is, if he wants to move on, that's the end of that. You know,
I think it's
if a player wants to leave the club, it doesn't really matter what the reason is. Yeah. You then facilitate that as best you can, whilst protecting the club. You know, as better, you know, and you move on. So see all the nonsense around it for me. I'm glad that he was here. I'm not entirely, you know, I'm not raging that he's gone or anything like that.
As long as we get a good replacement in fairly quickly. I mean, what I think is quite funny is on the whole, the day, like the whole Harry Kane thing was happening and there was a whole big thing on social media and stuff and the radios and stuff about why would he go to Bayern Munich where they win the league and all that when he could stay in England and break Shearer's record and stuff. Very kind of small-minded little England. And in the same perspective over the last couple of days, I've seen people saying, well, that Starfield awaiting obscurity, we sell a Vigo. It's like, be playing again. I think someone pointed that the day we were playing St Johnstone at Celtic Park, he'll be playing against Real Madrid. You know, like, it's La Liga. It's not the same.
I bet after 10 minutes, Hogan wishes he was playing against Stevie Mayer.
There might be a few Twitter clips of Carroll in the La Liga this season.
Aye. And do you know what? We'll enjoy them. Yes. But yeah, Lagerbielke is the guy that's been kind of slated to potentially come in. Apparently the clubs are quite far on in regards to negotiations. Alan, it seems to look like the profile we're after. We've all seen clips of him and looks like he could be, maybe not an upgrade's maybe the wrong word, but certainly a different set of skills to what Sarfelt had maybe.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, we've seen a little bit of Navrotsky and the new Swedish defender whose name I will learn in time. I think the one thing that comes through is that they are keen to try and play out. I don't think, you know, when we're discussing this in the context of Starfelt, I don't think you'll get anyone coming in and be as commanding as quickly as Starfelt was. I think we're probably not at that level of the market that we can do that, you know, to get an international quality defender who has played that much football. But I think Lagerbielke, we'll go over that in the meantime. The big Swedish stopper. I think what you can see is he's played a lot of football, and that's positive because I think that's what we need. We probably need guys that they've got a lot of levels to go up, but that have shown that consistently they can play well, especially at centre-half. You need players that you can trust in there. So it would be good if we could get this one done quite quickly because, as I say, there's a big, big shopping list and there's not a lot of time left in the window. So I would be encouraged by that. I think there will be a bedding-in period for whoever. Bear in mind, whoever wins out in the battle to kind of get the starting ship beside Carter Vickers, what, first Champions League games less than 4 weeks away, so they will need to forge a partnership pretty quickly because
it's longer than 4 weeks. It's the 19th of September. There is time.
Of 5 weeks in. Great. That'll make a big difference for them.
It's like 7 weeks.
Seven weeks in. Well, fine. That's the threshold then, 7 weeks. Okay. I think
I'd have preferred eight.
It's 6 weeks, so.
In between. Aye, I think in that time, what you're going to have to do is try and get comfortable because one thing I don't like is that we always had the debate about, well, we don't know if we're getting into the Champions League, so it means we don't know what to buy. And that was for years, that was a discussion, you know.
That was always, yeah.
Athens, we all remember that as well. You're kind of waiting for us to find out if we're in or not to decide who we get. Then last year, this year, we're straight in. The one thing I feel as if we've still gone to that first game and we're still miles off what the team's going to be like, and it kind of feels like there's always a reason why we can't be ready for that first game. And I know it's difficult when the market's happening around you, but we need to be better prepared going into that first game because it actually doesn't matter whether we play pot one, pot two, pot three, and whether it's home and away. That is going to be probably the toughest game that you're going to have between August and December is going to be that first game because we're really, really not prepared for it. So if we could go into it in a better shape, if we could have guys in the door with time to go, as you say, 6 weeks, that's a lot of football for them both to play. Try and build up that partnership so we can go into it and really just give ourselves the best chance of getting something and getting a positive start, because if we don't, then it makes it very, very difficult. So so that would be positive. So if we could get him in the door maybe this week, next week, it allows those guys to kind of get to know each other, battle it out, and then see what kind of proper centre-half pairing's going to be for, you know, building towards that first game.
Chris, your thoughts on, obviously, we've got Narowski who's looks pretty impressive from what we've saw. You've got Cameron Carter-Vickers, who is the rock at the heart of the defence. The fullback positions, you worried about them in any way? Because obviously there's been, you know, people have mentioned Greg Taylor maybe not playing at the level he was playing at last season, and it's only early, so we're not going to make full judgments on it. And Anthony Ralston, obviously he was quite injury prone last season, and obviously he had an injury during the summer. How are you feeling with those positions at this point after the weekend?
Well, I'm quite worried at fullback. I mean, even last season, you know, in playing the inverted kind of fullbacks, Juranovic going and made Johnston kind of lined up, brought in right away, and Johnston wasn't as comfortable in the inverted role, but his other attributes were just, you know, I'm a real fan of him, and I think a lot of the support are the same. And obviously, if I don't think Rodgers is going to play that way that Ange did, so it's going to kind of be a different role. For me, Johnston looks like the sort of guy with his attributes who easily fit into that. Taylor, you need to give Taylor credit, right? Especially as we gave him absolute dog's abuse for years, you know. A guy who, in that more traditional up and down the flank kind of fullback role, he didn't hit the mark for me. So you're kind of got that in the back of your head, thinking he's maybe not going to be suited. But in terms of his overall play and the strides he's made and the effort that he's put in and his, you know, his clear desire to become a better footballer, I would be remiss to write the guy off and say you're not going to be able to do that. I don't think that would be fair. However, I think we're very, very, very light with them two out. So there is still a question mark over the adjustments that Taylor might need to make. But he's got no competition, he's got no backup. And neither does Johnston. So for me, I think those are two positions whereby probably you're going to need to be getting somebody in who's on par or better than them to create a level of competition, I think. For me, it's the drop-off is so huge. And both of them have had injuries, you know, so it's not like there's players that have got a consistent run of games or whatever or anything like that. When one of our kind of first-choice fullbacks drops out, we're very, very light there. So I am worried there. As I said, I'm not writing Taylor off, but you still need to kind of, there's still questions on whether he's going to be able to adapt. And then we're really light elsewhere. I mean, see, even for me, for Ralston, people are now starting to say, oh, you know, with the homegrown quota and stuff like that. I think most of us had made up our mind that Ralston just wasn't the level that we wanted. You could get by in some domestic games with him, but largely speaking, he's not a player that you would want in and around the first team if you're wanting to kick on.
I think up against the real elite of the Champions League, Ralston will really struggle with pace, if nothing else, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that Greg Taylor has. He's got pretty good pace, recovery pace at least. Just on Alistair Johnston and Tilio, Brendan Rodgers said that they're both out on the grass training. And he's given, I don't know if this was for both of them or just for Tilio, but he mentioned mid-September. Do you think, Alan, that if that case is true, that we'll see Alistair Johnston in the first Champions League game if mid-September?
Yeah, you would.
Will he be thrown right in, essentially?
What did you say, 19th for that first?
19th, 20th.
I mean, it is going to be extremely tight. I mean, for a player that's not had a kick in pre-season, you're asking him to, I mean, if he's training now, that's positive. It might just be, you know, very light, non-contact, and you would imagine he would be up in that. So you'd be hoping by the end of August he might be in full training, so he might have a decent chance, but it's really just about how much game time he can get. But the one thing that I would probably say, and it maybe kind of piggybacking off the back of what Samani said, but because of the difference in quality between Johnston and what comes after, I think the manager would be so keen to get him back in that I wouldn't be surprised if, even if he only had maybe 45 minutes or 60 minutes under his belt, they said, you will start that game if you're fit, because the difference is so marked. And I think you would just think, you know, I'll go with it. As long as there's no, you know, if it's only an issue of match sharpness, I think you would just say, you know, I'll play the better player and, you know, see how we get on, rather than, you know, the alternative, which I don't think anyone wants to go into that first Champions League game without any improvements and with the kind of squad as it was, well, on Saturday.
I would hate to go into that Champions League game with just the one new centre-half. That, I think that would be, from everything we thought that would be happening over the summer and with Postecoglou leaving and everything, I just think that would be so, and I don't mean this to be really negative, I just think it would be so disheartening, just because I think the players that we have are good, but there's no one behind them that's pushing them up.
I'm going to ring the wee, the transfer window's still open, bell, lads. I need to get a wee bell just to kind of bring us back up.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
Let's not go too early.
Yeah. I was at half going to ring that, in terms of saying, I think Lorenzo made a pertinent point last week. I think the kind of impact of the Saudi League in terms of the money that's getting thrown about, you know, and it is probably impacting on the Champions League, because it's another option for players, isn't it? It's another kind of avenue for players to go to, including England, which then affects some of the kind of younger players at England that we would maybe be looking at. You know, we've been linked with Tommy Doyle and
Doyle and
McAtee. So, you know,
I mean, Joe McAtee has 30 players. There's been 30 players registered an interest in him, because
30 clubs
having a registered an interest to take him on loan because he's that highly rated.
So, I mean,
back in 25 you could score off right away.
City group back scratching, don't you worry about that. But the point being, more widely though, is I do think that a lot of business will be done towards the end of the transfer window. That even happened in Ange's first season. You know, we got Carter Vickers and Jota in really, really late, and look at how they turned out. At that time, I remember probably myself and other people saying last-minuters, you know.
Aye.
But I think subsequently they'd been talking about the club, been looking at Jota, and the club certainly, I know they had been linked to, you know, Carter Vickers. So it maybe just took to then to get it over the line. So it's not ideal when you're getting into the Champions League to get them that late, but it might just be what we need to do. One caveat I will say is I don't trust the board, though. So see that whole panic because we've not got players in. The sensible part of my brain says there's plenty of time, it might move forward. The other part of me says, shit.
That there, exactly, and the example of Joe and Carter Vickers, I find both reassuring and terrifying.
Yeah.
Because reassuring that, if you ask anyone just now, they would say, well, I'll wait until the last day and get the best talent. Even if it's not ideal, I'll wait till the last day and get the best talent, rather than bring someone in now who's inferior. However, if you don't get them in, I mean, you know, alternative set, there's probably a podcast out there somewhere that is doing if we didn't sign Jota or CCV, because there is that much out there. But the alternative is quite scary, because that's two players that were the real rock of the success in the last 2 years. Mm. And if you don't get them because the player decides, nah, I don't want to go up to Scotland or whatever, and that is a risk. And as, you know, Lorenzo has pointed out, as you've said there, it's a very delicate ecosystem, like football transfers, and the hierarchy's been pretty well established now for pretty much since the emergence of the Premier League, and it's been quite clear. But the issue now is that no one really knows, because the players will go to Saudi because the money is incredible for any player. The mm-hmm. money relative to whatever you're doing is just incredible. But there's now a question over how good is that league going to be, and how competitive that league is going to be, because I think people now believe there's a lot of really good players going there. And I think there is a very much a wait and see approach. So I think a lot of players will be eyeing up, waiting, thinking, but a lot of good players have went. Yeah, and we don't just mean headline players top level. There's a lot of players going to kind of fill the squad, so there's a lot of talent around it. So mm-hmm. it has upset the kind of very delicate ecosystem. And as ever with these things, it never, ever, ever plays into our hands. So it is just a wait and see approach, but it's difficult to do that. Like everybody, any Celtic fan that I have spoke to, and anybody you're talking to, whether it be and walking past somebody and work or whatever, there's just a nervousness because the transfer window's still active and we're just waiting. I think maybe a wee bit more than maybe some other people, I think there's a lot of work to be done in the window to get to where we need to be. And it's not the squad we've got at the moment, is it good enough to win the league? Yes, it is. But is it good enough to get to where we want to be across all competitions, and you know, including Europe, but to improve on last year as well? And probably not. But you know, there still is 3 weeks to go, so hopefully by that time, whether we break a transfer record or not, I'm not particularly fussed about that. I'm more just, are we going to bring in talent? And are we going to bring in talent that we can do what we've done over the last 2 years, over the next 2-3 years, under, you know, a new manager, a new build, kind of new mould? And I think we're all waiting for that, because your success rate is never going to be 100% in one window. I don't think that's ever happened to us. And if it's only half the success rate, it's 50% on the players we've brought in, we're going to be way short of what we need.
I think as well as because of Postecoglou leaving out the blue, well, mostly out the blue too, it became a shock when we realised it was going to happen. You've then come into this season, Rodgers has came in, obviously the reaction to that. The signings up until now look like the old regime signings. They look like guys that had been scouted and guys who had been picked by Postecoglou, obviously given, you know, Kwon and Yang, and we'd already kind of dipped our toe into the South Korean market. So a lot of the times it looks as if we've went through the old list and says, aye, that'll do. And we're kind of waiting for Rodgers' signings. And we also, in our head, said, there's going to be a few bob thrown about here because he's come back and because of what happened before. That's feeding into the uneasiness of it. And then I said I wasn't going to say any of this, but looking into the cryptic Brendan Rodgers quotes at press conference as well, you start going, he doesn't sound happy. Oh, no, it sounds like there's going to be business coming in. Oh, no, it sounds like not much more is going to be coming in. And it just, that does my nutting. It really does. Well, talking about that,
Mr. Sermani, let's hear.
I don't have the energy for all that garbage again, you know.
I'd like to point out it's episode 2 of the weekly for this season.
We don't see all that. Rodgers doesn't say anything without meaning it or thinking about it. But then you start dissecting it, and then sometimes I think he just speaks, actually. I think sometimes we're giving him too much credit.
Well, let's actually just hear what he's got to say. No, this is
I resign from this podcast.
No, there was three clips I took, and it is just about, essentially, you know, the points. Here's the first clip. It's about, he was asked about, obviously, the centre-half position, and he was asked about, are there other areas that you want to bring players in?
There's other areas I would like to improve on so that we're set. I'm really pleased with the players that's here. The guys that I inherited been very, very good. Been really pleased with the attitude and energy of them. It's always difficult, you know, it's a new cycle of work. It's not a continuation. It's a new cycle, a new manager, tweaks in the philosophy of how they work and how they play. A lot of the principles are the same, but they're still change. But those players, the players have reacted very, very well, and I've been really pleased with that. But naturally, I would want to strengthen before the window shuts in order to play the number of games that we have to play with the strongest squad that we possibly can.
You could have just said yes.
Some man's face is raging. Like,
I've never seen that vein before.
Thoughts, Alan, on that? It is very just, he wants to strengthen, but then he just kind of talks about other players not.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with our leader. We do. I think he's been generous by saying he needs more to compete over the number of games. I mean, he's got a squad there that, you know, to kind of hark back to my previous comments, there's a squad there that you could compete. If you only had 38 league games, they could win the league.
No bother.
And they're good enough to do that. That's a tribute to the players. That's not a comment or a dig at the league. I think there is a squad there that are good enough to win the league.
We won a treble last season.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there is a team there that's good enough to handle it, and there's the new guys that come in will obviously have an impact. But I wouldn't probably quite agree that he needs more players just so they can compete across the number of games. We've got a big, big squad. You need, I think there's key areas in the team that just need significant improvement to A, improve on what's there, and B, to improve the kind of competition pool of the players around and make it competitive. There's some areas of the park where you think we could do with one more, then there's other areas of the park where we absolutely need someone in the door before the window. And if we don't, I think it's something we're going to talk about from now until, at the very least, January, quite possibly into next summer.
I just want to play this other clip because it's quite interesting. It's about...
Clip of who?
It's Brendan Rodgers. We've got three Brendan Rodgers clips, all right? Okay, that vein is...
He's heard that before.
He is our manager, so...
That vein is pulsating. But this is just
steady.
About...
Steady now. That's enough.
That's you. That's all you. But this is about players going.
I think everyone that we'll have here by the end of the window will want to be here. But like I said, there could be some movement. Players that maybe, you know, that was maybe felt that they were going to move on. You know, the players like David Turnbull has done excellent over the course of pre-season. He's come in, he made a really good impact. I like him as a player. So sometimes players get that motivation to stay and want to fight and want to work and show their quality. So, but overall, I do expect some to leave, and because they'll want more game time.
Any bits for any of your players at the moment?
No.
Any bits for your players? No, absolutely
see,
not.
Fine. Are players going to leave? Yes. Is there bids for the players? No.
That's all we want. It's interesting, the point about David Turnbull, though. Turnbull obviously started against Ross County. Hitati was on the bench. What did you make of that, Chris?
Again, I don't really want to start kind of... But I probably have to because I'm on a Celtic podcast.
Are you okay?
Self-loathing is really fucking amped up over the summer.
He's going to start...
Well, you immediately start speculating that is Rio Hitati going to leave the club, because... All things being equal, there is no way that Rio Hitati should be on the bench behind a team with David Turnbull in it. So, has he got a knock? I don't know.
He came on, so
yeah.
It's probably unlikely they had a knock.
But then it might just be that he wanted to give Turnbull game time because he had a good pre-season. That's fair enough. Quite clearly, he's mentioned him there, and he was really far out of favour under the previous manager. His performances probably suggested last season that, quite frankly, he didn't have much of a future at the club. I'll be happy if he grabs a chance. I don't think he's going to be a mainstay in the midfield for us. But I think he's a guy who can contribute domestically. And if Rodgers, you know, one of his kind of... one of his supposed strengths is bringing players on and kind of moving them on to the next level, and Turnbull maybe wasn't the one that immediately came to my head, like Matt O'Reilly would have done, or Abada, you know, guys that you would hope that he would take to the next level. But if he can get Turnbull back to the point where we thought he might be, I mean, I remember at the start of last season, me and you both said, I think, there wasn't a huge amount between Turnbull and Matt O'Reilly. So if you can get him back to that level, then that's good. He's somebody that you want around the squad. Bringing Hitati back into it, I really don't want to think about the possibility that Hitati is going to leave, not because, you know, every player's replaceable, and if players want to go, they should go, but it's just another huge hole to fill that I just can't be bothered having to deal with after the Jota situation.
100%, 100%,
so,
man.
I'm just going to pretend that it just had a wee rest.
I think on that specifically, the real Hitati thing, I really hope that he's not going to go anywhere. I think it would significantly change the nature of his transfer window if he was to be out the door. I'm confident that he won't be. I kind of flip-flopped the last few days over it. But I think the club would be a wee bit more proactive in moving him out the door, because he is such an important player. And I think the more we think about it, that those two holding midfield kind of roles, it's probably going to be between O'Reilly, McGregor and Hitati, so you might see rotation there. I think what goes in David Turnbull's favour is he's probably the leading candidate to play that advanced role, because he is the most creative. Maybe Matt O'Reilly as well. I'm surprised not to see him in that spot, but I think he's a player that can adapt a wee bit more. Turnbull's probably the out-and-out one that probably is the leading role in there, and I probably differ a wee bit. I think domestically, I think he might find himself, he might get a lot of game time, unless we bring in someone else. I think he might get a lot of game time in there, because you're not going to put Callum McGregor in there. I don't think you'd put Rio Hitati in there. So it does then give you that kind of, it frees up more game time for him. I think this system will suit him a lot more. So I think it's good. I think it's a positive that, you know, hopefully Brendan Rodgers can get a good tune out of David Turnbull. But again, it comes to what the player can do. And it is a complete unknown at the moment, because he's got to play a lot better, and it's with all the respect in the world to Ross County, you're going to have to do it in bigger games than that, and he's going to have to do it in bigger games and very quickly. Aberdeen Sunday, you get Rangers in a couple of weeks, and then you get Champions League games. And given what David Turnbull's done over the last 18 months, Champions League football is a big, big ask at this point. So,
yeah,
you know, I think there's a lot of work to be done there, but I think you would probably need to bring up to pace. Whereas I think, going back to Hitati, he's probably a player that, you know, if he misses a Ross County game at home, I'm sure he's disappointed not to be in there, but Aberdeen on Sunday, Rangers in a couple of weeks. He can play at that level. Champions League last year, I thought he was superb. So it's maybe about trying to get the other guys up to speed and try and get them nearer that level so that you can create a bit of competition.
You're almost convincing me, by the way.
Yeah, I'm having to convince myself because 100% my bottle will crash. I guarantee if Rio Hatate was to go this weekend, my bottle would crash. It's not because I don't think you can't handle the loss of Rio Hatate. It's because very quickly it would be feel like the rug being pulled from under our feet. And the one thing I kind of go back to, and annoyingly it's your pal, is stuck in my head a wee bit, Mr. Romano, the guy that you like to fucking bring up every other day,
about the
Jota, you know, Celtic maybe being a little bit taken aback that they got that money and they weren't quite expected to sell Jota, and then they had that, and you think since then we've done nothing with it really. And that makes me think, because if you sold Rio Hatate, you would get a really commanding fee and it would then further fluster us more. And one thing we don't like to do is see when teams know we've got money, it's almost as if we go into a shell a wee bit and think, well, we're not going to get fleeced. And you know, sometimes you just don't always get the best deal. You might get a top player, but you might have to pay premium for him, and we're not really, really not very good at that. So it would make me nervous. We've got a lot of work to do in the window. There's still time to get it done. But having to then do that with another player would just change the nature of it. And
a
then
key
that would
player,
be.
A key
I would be like though. I would be like an offside striker at that point. My two hands would go up and I'm saying, I'm fucking out of this year. Count me out.
I don't even think you can kind of describe how huge it would be. And I mean, we're talking, you're singing Turnbull's praises. You can do that if you want, you know. But but say that you're talking about, you might get a lot of game time and you're playing further forward and, you know, the system will suit him. That might be the case domestically. See, if our midfield three with the squad that we've got just now starting in the Champions League was McGregor, Hatate and O'Reilly, fine. See if you replace one of them with Turnbull. Complete deflation. So for me, it's positive signs that we've got, and you know, we might kind of give us a tune domestically, but for, you know, I also would have to be really, really convinced and see a major upsurge in form to think that he's going to be on the level that we want. One thing as well that we're forgetting, and it's dead easy to forget, in the options and the quality that we had, is Aaron Moy retiring.
Well,
that's another huge gap in that midfield. Now, I know he had his fans and his detractors, but for periods of last season,
he played 42 games. He was involved in 42 games last season.
Outstanding last year, and because obviously he's retired and he's not moved on, and it had been rumoured for a while before it happened, it's easy to forget that that's a hole in the squad and in that midfield that we haven't filled. If you added Rio Hatate to that,
well, let me. I put out on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Jota, Moy and Starfelt, all involved in between 37 and 43 games last season. Winger, central midfielder, centre back. Which players in the current squad will now get their game time? Moy's an interesting one. A lot of people would say in home potentially getting his, and I can understand that because he's looked impressive. He's a young player that looks like he could potentially do something.
He's looked the best.
Yeah. Moy didn't always play the kind of every week, for example. Well, I know he went through a period, but he was always a guy that you would, a good pair of hands that you would give to after a big game or whatever, right? So I can see that. I can see the logic of that. A lot of people come back saying, well, Abada's going to do what Jota did last season, and that terrified me. I think Abada's a really good player. I think he started the season fairly well. They are completely different players. And to Jota, it comes back to Jota. I know I've said this a couple of weeks, but if we had brought a Jota replacement in, that would be in a lot more relaxed situation. Alan, who's going to get these points? Who's going to get these positions?
Yeah, I think they can hold in midfield. I don't think you need another. I think initially when Rodgers came in, I think we all felt that there was a likelihood that we would bring in a commanding defensive holding midfielder. We seem to have pulled away from that a wee bit, and I think actually the need might be for a more creative flair midfielder, given that previous discussion. And I think my defence of Turnbull was more that I think the game time would be there for him domestically, just because I don't think there's not a great deal of competition in that advanced role at the moment. So I think the need is maybe a wee bit higher up than, you know, a holding, commanding defensive midfielder, because I have been impressed. I think Holmes looked quite tidy in his kind of cameo appearances. Centre half, I think you've already signed Starfelt's replacement. I think that just the nature of how the Staffield deal has came about makes me pretty confident that Navrotsky was number one target and he was bought with the intention of replacing Staffield. Now it appears to be maybe who's the competition, etc. Jota is the outlier. I know Telio is injured, which is difficult. I think there's a lot of optimism about him. You're not going to sign a player of the level that Jota was at when he left, but what you want to do is get a player that could maybe get there within 3 to 6 months. Because there is, I think when you look at a squad, there's a lot of, there is the foundation and the makeup of a really, really top side. There is, and I know we are being quite negative, and I apologise for that, but it is just in, I think, most Celtic fans' nature to be nervous. What there is a need for, though, I think, is for maybe just a little bit of guile. I think we've got the work rate. I think we've got the system. I think we've got areas we need addressed. I think everyone probably knows goalkeeper. I think they need a fullback. But it does look like there could maybe be a need for another winger. Maybe just with that, because I've been quite encouraged by Yang, but I think that journey to being a first-team player is going to be a first-team regular at us, I think might take some time.
Someone who's going to impact the game. There's a difference between looking impressive and impacting the game.
It's that threat of a player who can do something on the park that nobody else in the country can do. You've taken, and that's difficult to replace, but you took away a player in Jota who could, at times, maybe not affect games, but then out of nowhere could do something spectacular that makes everybody get their phones out. And I know that's, there's no filter for that on like Football Manager or whatever, but that's the kind of star attraction I think you could be doing with. Mm. And you know, you might go and get someone that's a bit more polished than Jota, maybe doesn't quite have the ceiling. It's just about where you're shopping and what you're looking for. And I think it's hard, you know, obviously, kind of link with Tete seems to have kind of quietened down a lot. That seems to get very, very complicated over the last.
He signed for Fenerbahce, I think. Or Galatasaray, sorry. Galatasaray.
Well, I'd never realised it was done. I thought that was still kind of complicated. But beyond that, there's been no other kind of concrete links. And I think it's just, it's difficult because we brought in Telio, we brought in Yang, and you're wondering how much these guys are going to impact. And until we've seen a larger sample of games, Yang looks like he's the next in line. He's the first winger on by the looks of it now. But it's a lot, and I think you could be doing with another option in there. I think just the creativity is something I'd maybe like to see us kind of improve upon. Advanced midfielder and a winger. I mean, it would be it's a big shopping list, I know, but a lot in and out to be done. It just makes me nervous that that's all got to be done in what is a very short period of time. Celtic don't have hundreds of staff working on this round the clock. We are not the City Group. So to get 4 or 5 in is a lot, but to get 4 or 5 in and get maybe 7 or 8 out, it's just starting to seem like it's not going to quite add up. And, you know, you're thinking, what are we not going to get and what are we going to have to sacrifice?
I think is one of the other things that's kind of impacting on the support psyche in terms of nervousness, I think, is a good way to put it. It's not, it is nervousness just in terms of what may or may not happen. I mean, the players that have come in so far, you know, you're kind of saying projects, right? But that might not be the case. I mean, Holm and Yang, right? They're the players that have impressed me the most. You know, there's a possibility that Yang could, you know, we don't know what his ceiling is. We don't know. Am I going to sit here and say that he's going to be as good as Jota? Of course I'm not. I don't know. When Jota came in, though, you had no idea if he was going to be good or bad. So there's players that we've got. Telio, again, another one. These are guys who might fill that void that we just don't know. What we're crying out for, though, is signings who, when they're signed, you know they're coming into the first team. You just know it. And that doesn't necessarily mean big bucks. You knew Kyogo was starting for us and he was only £4 million. Okay, that's not an insignificant fee, but in terms of what we're talking about, it's not big, big money. Hatate, you knew he was coming in to play in the first team. The manager saw him, wanted him, and brought him in.
Abada.
No, well, I don't think he was.
I think Abada was brought in to play.
I feel like I remember the fan base collectively losing their shite over Abada when he came in because it was a doo-doo hand number. Aye.
You can argue over that, but essentially the point being is some of these guys that we've already got might, you know, hit the mark. They might, we might be talking in 5 weeks, 6 weeks time going, that Jota shape hole's been kind of filled by the form of Yang or Telio, right? You just don't know. But see if we brought in 2-3 signings and you went, okay, they're playing for us. I think that would do a lot to kind of ease the collective nerves of the support. That's what we've been missing out of. That's what we expected with Rodgers.
I think just on that, to kind of, I like our transfer strategy at the moment, largely. I think it's really, really good. And I think we've done really well out of it. And I think there's an acceptance among the fan base now that not every signing is going to work out. And given the amount we're spending relatively in each player, you only need maybe one to work out to then recoup it, and it's worth doing. So for, you know, every Kyogo, there might be a Kobayashi, you know, for example. That's just, you know, that's the way it is. What I think I like, though, and I think what all the best teams do, is there's a blend of transfer activity. It's not always buy cheap, young, and sell on. Sometimes you need to go out and bring in experience.
29-year-old guy.
Yeah, everybody talks about, you know, the great teams that get the big fees for players. You know, the Ajax model, we've all talked about that for, well, fucking since about 2001. We've talked about the Ajax model. They went out a couple of years ago and brought in, what, 30-plus players because they had a really young squad and they had to add that makeup. And I think what we're waiting on a wee bit now is we've kind of signed the players that we've maybe scouted over a long period of time and the club believe in, and they've been given Brendan Rodgers' blessing. Brendan Rodgers told us that, I think, specifically about home. So that's positive, that's good that the club have got those deals done early. I think what we're waiting on now, and I think everybody is waiting on it, irrespective of position, everyone's waiting on who the manager's maybe identified and who he thinks, right, I'm happy what the club are doing, I'm happy working with this pool of players, but I know this guy and I know what he can do. And we've been kind of waiting on that. I mean, all the clickbait articles as soon as he came in, who has he worked with at Leicester, who's a fan at Leicester, yeah, all these guys. You're kind of waiting on to see who these guys are and where they're coming from. It might be guys Rodgers worked with before, it might not, but we're kind of waiting on, right, where's the seasoning, where's the, you know, where it's coming from, where's the flavour, because so far it has been positive, and I really do believe in a lot of these guys. I mean, Yang has been really exciting every time he's come on. You know, those two games in a week, I thought he might only play 20 minutes, but he made an impact in both games. That's your job. But we are waiting on the
menu.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, fucking give us your own examples of a good expression for that, but that's it. That's what we're waiting on, and it's not quite came yet, and as the days tick away, the one thing, and it's the last negative thing I'm going to say,
no, it isn't.
Today, it's the last negative thing I'll say in the next 3 minutes. I've been here before. We've all been here before. Every single person listening to this has been here before with Celtic, where we have been in a position that you could not believe. Just won a treble, automatic entry to the Champions League. You know, money coming out of our backsides, even though the club don't really want selling clubs to know that. Go and make sure you make it count. That's the key, because I don't want to be sitting here in 5 years saying, yeah, you know, we remember after the Cup final, didn't do anything. You know, after
Rangers died, didn't,
yeah, didn't do anything. And I don't want to be sitting here saying, brought in Brendan Rodgers, who did really well with the players, but he needed more. I hope that's not the case, and I hope in 3 weeks' time we're all laughing at that comment. And but that's the reality. That's the kind of, that's that nervousness creeping.
Just a couple of comments from people that got in touch. Danny messaged and said, why does it always feel like any time we are in a strong position to really strengthen, we don't? We could invest and put ourselves years ahead of our rivals in this window, but we are way too tentative. It feels like any time they are there for the burying, when we have a foot in their throat, we release the pressure, completely put the brakes on. We should be burying them for years by improving in our squad properly, and we don't seem to be doing it again. So frustrating. Then we had Danny Miller with a positive one.
Scratch for, that.
For the weekly, you may need to get him as a contributor.
For the weekly, I hope this isn't just acceptance of the current transfer situation. I think Tellio is the Jota replacement. Tricky cut-in winger. Potentially. I'm quite excited to see what Tellio can do, but I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, I'm always nervous when players start the season injured, and like, yeah, I have very low expectations of players when they miss pre-season, they're new to the club, and they come in like halfway through September, because there's a long cast of names that,
cast of thousands.
Low expectations, but I'd be delighted if Danny's right.
Jambo Roy, I'll read out Jambo and Dave because they're similar. Evening trips, good to have the season back with the usual suspects and the usual results. Hee hee. Making fun of Rangers, Chris, that's pretty good. Feel like a broken record. It said hee hee, it's a message. Feel like a broken record, but we have we genuine cause for concern regarding transfer business in the right markets and right areas of the park? Where's my right back? Or my big money signing goalkeeper? And goalkeeper is something I want to quickly talk about. Dave Gallagher also says, if we signed three players by the end of the window and one was not a goalkeeper, would you be concerned? Also, and I thought this was funny, Is it Alan's bedroom being used to film the new players' videos pre-match? Have you seen the thing at Celtic Park where it's like the players come on and it's like you see
oh,
the,
I did notice that actually, yeah.
It's like, just be, it seems like a towel or something that's just
cheeky,
standing there.
Cheeky bastard.
Cheeky bastard.
Yeah, that fucking, who was that?
That was Dave Gallagher.
Dave Gallagher, cheeky bastard.
You're in trouble, you're in trouble.
Hard Dave Gallagher, so watch your mouth there.
Brendan Rodgers at the press conference was asked about the goalkeeper and he was complimentary of all the goalkeepers.
All of the goalkeepers.
All of the goalkeepers. There was some stuff, I think is it Mark Hendry, who's the guy from Football Scotland, again, take everything with a pinch of salt. Seems the club are happy with the three they've got now, and unless they sell, I don't see that changing.
Terrifying.
Terrifying stuff, I think. So, I mean, when we get rid of Starfelt, when Starfelt left, we have seemed to be in the process of replacing him pretty quickly. And the fact that we've had all summer with the goalkeeper, we're not going to spend too much more time on it because we all know our thoughts.
Who are you selling here? Sorry, I know I've just... Who are you selling out of that three? I mean, like, Joe Hart could probably have options, but you wouldn't get a fee. Ben G. Segrist is probably...
He's not playing, so...
He's not playing, right. So his value is less than when he came in, and he was coming in a free, and Scott Bain has been here for, you know, a long time and will continue to be here for a long time because
forever.
He, you know, fits the homegrown criteria and he's not that fussed about not playing. So you don't have... You don't get teams chapping the door for a goalkeeper, so you're not shifting one of them. This comes back to, again, sometimes we don't realise when we need to...
Bite the bullet
and accept that you're not getting the right end of a deal. And I think either Ben Segrist, it would be Segrist, to be honest. I think if we brought a goalkeeper in, I think Hart would go, because I don't think he would sit about. He's sat on the bench for long enough in his career, I don't think he would. But I think there should, in my opinion, I think there should be a real urgency about it, because I think the warning signs have been there in pre-season and at the weekend.
I do, but I think... I don't think, I'm concerned that the manager thinks that, I don't doubt that he would probably like to upgrade in Joe Hart, but there's part of me also thinks Joe Hart is a personality and Joe Hart's got Joe Hart's name, so he's thinking we can skate by and he'll do. That's my concern, that he's just, his reputation will carry him with the manager. Now maybe I'm just being, I don't know, paranoid or thinking, you know, maybe that's daft thinking, but...
You kind of seen that performance against Ross County and thought, I'm talking about from a Brendan Rodgers point of view, thought, that'll be fine, in the Champions League.
But this is the guy who continued to play Craig Gordon, who is basically Joe Hart, but Scottish, and continued to make him play football when he couldn't do it. That was a blind spot for him. And my concern, because, and again, I said it last week, Hart brings attributes. Yeah. Huge attributes in terms of his standing, probably his character in the dressing room. I have no doubt that one of the significant reasons why we won the treble last season and the league and the cup the season before was having a professional like Joe Hart in the dressing room. Young players would have came and seen, he's done it. He's won the Premier League with Man City. He's been at World Cups with England. I don't doubt that. But he's just not very good anymore. He's just not what we need. My concern is all that part of him kind of overshadows the fact that he's pish with his feet and quite often he lets in goals that he shouldn't do. That is my concern.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to, obviously, there is echoes. We've had this before, you know, and obviously Brendan Rodgers went out and got a goalkeeper. And it was Doris De Vries. So when we're sitting here talking about who are the guys that he's identifying, I hope he doesn't go and knock on the boardroom and say, I've got a goalkeeper here, lads.
And again, it was the same last week. Barkas ticked every box.
We're not mentioning Barkas anymore.
Booking.
Booked.
Yellow card.
No Barkas chat. He's done.
Anyway. Bottom line is, it's a hard position to fill. And I'll leave it at that.
The goalkeeper market is crazy and it is really competitive this year, and I think the Livakovic stuff, which was a couple of weeks ago now, and obviously I think is still active, I suppose, I do question is there appetite for spending big on a goalkeeper. I just don't know if it's there, and especially if you didn't have a move lined up for Hart, because you would want his wage out the door. It just feels like there's a lot of work to be done there, and kind of feels like maybe we're kind of settling in to accept what it is, and, you know, we could very well have a very successful season under Joe Hart, but I think it's an area that if you could offer one position to upgrade in, I think I probably at this point would go goalkeeper, because I know we talked about Taylor earlier, we've talked about winger. I would agree with Samani, I would back Taylor. I think, because you give him the credit for what he did and how much he improved under Ange. I'm sure he's good enough to develop under Rodgers. Joe Hart is a bit different. It's things he's never necessarily been good at. How many years ago now did Pep go into Man City, and one of the earliest things one of the things that he did over time was he just realised he had to get rid of Joe Hart, and it was emotional, it was difficult because obviously what he meant down there, but he realised that to move on he had to, and, yeah. And to a lesser extent in a very different market, I think we're in that position as well. So it's difficult, it's a really hard area to recruit, but I think it really has to be a big, big priority for us, given especially what we've seen in those friendly games and even at Ross County the weekend. These are all games where there's very little pressure. The pressure's coming. Hopefully, you know, yeah.
We have Aberdeen at Pittodrie on Sunday, 12 o'clock. Christopher Somani, you, myself and Christopher Bowd will be reacting to that game. Looking forward to that. That will be streaming live. If you are a subscriber at thecynic.co, you'll be able to call in and chat after the game about your thoughts, and we'll certainly give you ours. How are you feeling about that game? Pre-match, we mentioned it last week about how big of a game it is, going to Pittodrie. Excited, looking forward to it. What are your thoughts?
It's one of the biggest, the hardest fixtures of the season. Yeah, it is an away game. Now, we've got a very good record at Pittodrie, so for a long time you were kind of being a wee bit disingenuous when you were saying it was a hard fixture, because it generally wasn't for us. Brian Robson's Aberdeen are a kind of different...
Did you call him Brian Robson?
Brian Robson, Barry Robson. Brian Robson, Manchester United and England midfielder, currently in charge of Aberdeen.
Both midfield enforcers.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of them maybe a bit of a higher level, but still.
Barry Robson, I think he's done a great job. You know, I mean, he's got them well organised, you know, playing some nice stuff, got some good results towards the end of last season.
They were terrible on Saturday, though.
Well, Livingston
away, what can you do?
First game of the season. So, anyway, I'm working on the assumption that Saturday's not the benchmark for them. It's kind of how we got them playing last season. So, for me, I'm thinking it's going to be a more difficult fixture for us. We're not firing on all cylinders. We're maybe not where we want to be. So, I'm looking forward to it because I love going and I love playing at Pittodrie. But that wee nervous anticipation about it, because it's a game where, and those are always the best, if we're being honest,
yep,
where you know that you can drop points, because then if you don't, it feels more satisfying. So wee nervous anticipation for it, but I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm really, really excited for Sunday. And I know if you stuck with us over the last 15 minutes, but I think Sunday has got the potential to really reassure everybody. You know, we talked about the kind of slightly odd atmosphere on Saturday. Brendan Rodgers has a spectacular record up there. Aberdeen are in a bit of flux at the moment. I think if we go up there and put in a comfortable performance, I'm not saying glittering, you know, hammering, but if we go up there and win comfortably, retain the ball, do the things that the manager wants us to do, maybe take away some of that untidiness from Saturday, and you do that at Pittodrie in the second game of the season, halfway kind of through or towards the kind of later stages of the transfer window, I think it could have a really, really calming effect. And I think what maybe I was hoping to go and see on Saturday was something to go and expect us to be so far ahead of the opposition and almost remind me, I forget actually, this guy is really, really good. If we do that on Sunday, I think everyone will kind of go, do you know what, Rangers in 3 weeks, is it after that? I think people will, or 2 weeks, whatever it is, people will not calm down, but I think there'll be a comforting effect to it. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be really, really difficult, but I think with the squad we've got, we kind of stood in it early and said that it's good enough to compete. And I think going to Aberdeen and winning with a squad is, I think it would be quite comforting. And I'm looking forward to it. It'll be tough. It'll be difficult. You know, you fully expect, you know, Rangers to be kind of levelling points with us. I know it's the second game of the season, but look, that's all we look at. So I think if you go there, put in a commanded performance, controlled performance, and take away some of the kind of defensive untidiness, the slack passing, I think come Monday we'll all feel a hell of a lot better. So I think that's what it's about. And I can't wait for it, 12 o'clock on Sunday. Genuinely, it is one of the fixtures.
It stands out, I think.
It is. It's just incredible, everything about it. And if you go and get a result there, it just feels like one of those ones you've ticked off, and it's like we only have to go there probably one more time. And, you know, I know it's early in the season, but that's what you look at. You start counting down the fixtures, start marking them off.
Tynecastle after that, Ibrox after that, Tynecastle after that. You were going to come in, Chris?
No.
I thought you were going to go in. Abada will be available. I think Brendan Rodgers said that Abada will be available. Looks like he's going to be unavailable for 46 weeks. What's your thoughts on that, Chris? Obviously, we've had Kyogo's been starting.
What's your medical opinion on that, Chris? Do you believe this 46 weeks nonsense?
I'd like to see the medical report because I think he's at it, to be perfectly honest.
We've had Kyogo playing, and obviously, we covered it all last week, this week, about you know, the difference in his position and how he was playing and stuff. But he'll more than likely start at almost every game. Mm. With him being, with O being unavailable, that just means Maeda goes into that position.
Yeah, but the options that we had out wide to facilitate that probably aren't there as much. I mean, it looks as if Hak Sabanovic is out the picture. You can put him on my list of guys who I said were going to be brilliant but weren't.
It's a big list.
It's quite lengthy. It's quite lengthy. Yeah. Actually going to publish volume 2 of that shot.
I'm glad that I managed to stay out of this whole nonsense last year. Yeah. I feel like I've really come out on top there.
Yeah, you've kept your nose nice and clean.
So yeah, even there, you know, and obviously Jota going, I'm not a massive fan of Maeda through the middle. I'm really not. So I'm a wee bit uneasy about it. As a guy who probably had a bit to prove, young, we don't know how he was going to do, but I'm starting to come around to him. I think he's got some good attributes, strong player, you know. So I was hoping to see a wee bit more. That's a bit of a blow, but we are a bit light there now. Maeda, I mean, his work rate's absolutely incredible. We all know that. He's got so many good attributes to him. But as our kind of main striker through the middle, I wouldn't be entirely comfortable with that for any length of period.
What about yourself, Alan? Do you think that Maeda's just... Do you think Maeda will play... It's one of those where if O's unavailable and you've got your two strikers on the pitch, the chances of one of them getting injured goes up. Do you think that'll come into his consideration, or he'll just play who kind of that three? Because we don't have any... Who else, essentially what I'm asking is, who else would step into the striking position if, you know, Kyogo and Maeda got unavailable? We don't have anyone, do we?
No, it's more just knocking these guys down. It's a game of guess who here. I mean, who you play through the middle after that, I don't really know. You know, you're going to be asking one of the wingers, and you could pick any of them. James Forrest done it before. Leila Bada's kind of led the line. Steady. Leila Bada's led the line before. Hak Sabanovic will probably have to come out of cold storage to, I don't know, go on the bench.
Redemption.
But I think I'm a wee bit different. I'm actually quite keen to see Maeda through the middle. I think of all the players I watched in pre-season, I think Maeda was the one that just looked like a different beast from last year. His touch has been incredible. Everything he does now seems to have a kind of laser focus to it. And you're talking less about his off-the-ball stuff now, and you're actually talking about his ability driving, his delivery. It looks like he's come back, and I was always a fan of him. I think everyone loves Maeda, but I feel like he's come back, and he seems to have something different about him. Maybe it's just he's more comfortable. He seems to love living in Glasgow. He seems to really embrace it. And maybe that's helping him on the park. Obviously, he's working with Harry Kewell. But whether it's on the left or through the middle, I'm quite keen to see Maeda this season, because I think he's going to be a huge part of what we do. So I think he is the second go-to striker, whether he's fit or not at the moment. I think the only time it comes into it about them, Kewell and Maeda both being on the park at the same time, with injuries, is if we're winning and we're in a good position. I do think that Kyogo particularly is a player that will be protected, because he's so important to what we do. I think you might find, if you're in a good position, he's a player that's kind of hoiked off. And the one game that I think will be interesting to see how much we rotate and how heavily we rotate is just get a wee eye on that Kilmarnock game, because it's not an easy tie. It's certainly not an easy tie now that you've obviously seen the result of the weekend. But how much are you willing to sacrifice, you know, potentially your chances of success in the League Cup versus keeping these guys fit and ready so that they're absolutely at their peak fitness for, you know, the start of the group stages. So I think that will be fairly indicative of that game.
We'll go into more detail about the Aberdeen game tomorrow on the Weekend Update with Stuart Dugan. And yeah, we've got lots more coming up over the weekend. Alan, Edgar, it's been a joy. If you were to have a quick prediction for Sunday, it doesn't have to be the score, it can just be a player playing well or something happening. What's your thoughts? Just one prediction.
Kyogo will score from close range and will wheel away into the Celtic fans who are obviously down that end, and it will be just one of those memorable Pittodrie moments.
memorable. Would I love it? Great, great word picture. Chris, any kind of predictions for you for Sunday?
Rocky will score a header, and a lot of people will say, see, if there wasn't any net, it would still be travelling. And I'll ignore that, but I'll enjoy the goal.
Great stuff. As I say, we've got full previews of that coming up over the weekend.
Just realised that potentially at some point in the season we could have Rocky and Lager as our two centre-halves. Probably a good night for maybe somebody in the 40s or something, I don't know.
Sure. No, good night for Brian McManus.
I knew you were going to say that. That's a Brian McManus night all over. But yeah, plenty coming up. Check out thecynic.co for daily Celtic podcasts. If you subscribe, you can get access to thousands of podcasts, features, news, everything. Chris Samani, a joy as always, and we'll speak to you next week, sir.
Terrific.
I'm sure you'll be fine by then. Alan Edgar, a joy.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Great stuff. From Alan Edgar, from Chris Romani, I'm Christopher Gallo. This has been The Cynic Weekly, and we'll speak to you down the road.